Praise the Lord. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight and have a chance to worship again together. We don't know how much time that we have left, but we want to do whatever we can while we have time, because soon the night cometh when no man can work, and according to the scriptures, when this night begins to settle around us, then they'll drive us out of the synagogues for his name's sake. We'll just be a little band of people that's compact together, kicked out of the churches, and just going from house to house to worship. That's what's coming our way. So I want to do what I can as long as I can. Now then, I've had a little trouble with my throat for a good long while now. But you know, a preacher can't stop because he has trouble with his throat. I don't know of any preachers really that I've ever seen preach very long that didn't have trouble with their throat. Having to wrestle against the powers of the enemy you're subject to anything. The Bible said, smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. So he's always after the shepherd. Always striking at the shepherd. Now then, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me tonight. Try to get right into the message. It doesn't take me too long to get a message across as long as I can get into the message. And I'd like for us to be able to get right into the message and see what God will give us tonight. If I can't talk as loud as I'd like to, then you just listen a little closer. Reading tonight from over in the book of Ezekiel. If you've got your Bibles, you can read along with me. Want to read tonight from the 30th verse of Ezekiel in the 16th chapter. 16th chapter, 30th verse. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman, in that thou buildest thine intimate place in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as an harlot, in that thou scornest high, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of a husband. They give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers, and hirest them that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. And the contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredoms, whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredom, and in that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee. Wherefore thou art contrary. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredom with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abomination, and with the blood of thy children which thou didst give unto them, behold, therefore, I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them thou hast loved, and with all them thou hast hated. I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. And I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged. And I will give thee blood and fury and jealousy. Let's turn over to the book of Revelations. Read just a little bit in the 17th chapter of Revelation. Here where John is carried away in the Spirit and speaks of the great whole that sit upon many waters. Reading from the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, in the 3rd verse, or we might begin here at the 1st verse and read several verses here, or maybe down to the 5th verse. And there came one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now then, the thought that I'd like to use tonight, not going to turn to it to read it, but I'd like to just quote a little of it. And I believe it's found in the text of Isaiah, where he says, when I have fed thee to the full, he said, then thou hast gathered thyself by troops into the house of the harlot. When I have fed thee to the full, then thou hast gathered thyself by troops into the harlot's house. And so it is today as we look around us, that when God has poured out of his Spirit upon the world and upon humanity, instead of turning to God and giving God praise for what he has done, or giving God glory for the things that he has done, the people have assembled themselves by troops into the place where the harlot dwells. They have gone their way away from the word of God, and they gathered themselves by troops into the place of the house of the harlot. Now, you know, I remember many years ago, I heard my dad and other people, how they spoke about the red light districts of the world, and the places around the neighboring towns that they referred to as the red light districts, and how that men that was lewd, and men that was of the basest sort, and men that had no desire for the right things in life, people that did not care for prestige, did not care for the honor that was due them in this life, men that cared nothing about having a responsible place in life, that didn't care about their children, that didn't care about the wives, they would look for this red light district, and they would make their way into the harlot's house. And I noticed that when Daddy was telling me concerning these things, that the men that practiced the traits of the wicked, that these men were bad to drink whiskey. These men were bad to go to the bottle and drink. And they were always drunken when they would turn into the harlots. It was something that they practiced. They would follow the bottle first, and then from the bottle, they would go to the harlot's house. And I've noticed the same thing applies today, that when a man gets drunk off of the wine of the fornication of the great whore, then that person begins to seek out the harlot's house. First of all, they began to sip, and so to speak, from the bottle of the wine of a fornication. They began to search out her ways, and they began to laugh the way that she operates and the things that she does. And so it is that in a little while, they began to assemble themselves, as the Bible said, by troops into the house of the harlot. But I'm glad that there is a people that will turn away from the evil things of today. I'm glad that there is a seed that has a heritage with God. There is a people that's seeking the right way of God, and they'll go the right way, and they'll do the right things in the sight of God, and they'll live holy, and they'll walk holy before God. Here are these people that Isaiah spoke of. They assembled themselves by troops into the house of the harlot. They didn't have any desire for holy things. They didn't have any desire to search out the matters of God, but they were contented to play the harlot against God. And here in the book of Revelation, when John began to be caught away in the Spirit, then God began to look at this great whorish church, and he likened her unto a woman that had denied the name of the Lord. Somebody that had refused to take the name of their husband and hold it up and be proud of it. Like a lot of churches of today that you and I know of. People that deny the name of the Lord. They won't bear the reproach of Calvary. They won't bear the reproach of the name of the Lord. But they want to go somewhere to where they can have a great church of prestige. They want some place to where they can be lifted up. They want some prestige. They want some recognition. They want some honor from the world. And they don't like to go down to the holiness church. They don't like to be numbered with the holiness people. They say that it's a reproach. Like Naaman did when Elisha told him to go down to the River Jordan. Said, Naaman, go down there. You can find deliverance in the River Jordan. You can find healing for your body if you'll go down to the River Jordan. But he said, there is no prestige there. There is no honor there. That that's a mighty river. All the world knows that's a mighty river. And he said, I don't want to go down in those waters. He said, I want clean waters. I want pure waters. And I've heard great men and have great reputation. I've heard of them making the statement. They'd say, you know, I know that holiness is right. I know that the way of the Lord is right. I know that the holiness people are his chosen people. They say, but because of my position, because of the place I hold, that I'm ashamed to go down there. I'm ashamed to be numbered with those people. I thank God tonight that I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I'm not ashamed tonight to call him Lord. And he said, if you are ashamed to confess me in this world, I'll come a day, he said, when you'll stand before the Heavenly Father in that great city that's so beautiful and so wonderful there that we're looking forward to. He said, when you stand and look upon that great city, he said, I'll deny that I ever knew you. I'll be ashamed of you in the presence of my Heavenly Father. There's so many people that's ashamed to confess holiness. That's ashamed to confess Jesus Christ. You talk to them, they say, well, Brother Pike, the reason I'm ashamed too is because people have brought reproach upon holiness. That's a reproach that you've got to bear. That's a reproach that you've got to bear. Sure, there's been a reproach brought upon holiness. Why has the reproach been brought upon the other churches? Because the devil doesn't care about the other churches. This is the one that's got the Christ child. Herod was always trying to kill the Christ child. Pharaoh was always trying to kill the Christ child. And today the devil's still trying to kill the Christ child. He's not interested in the other churches because he knows he already has control of them. But the reproach that you and I must bear is the murder. All this stuff that's thrown at the church. All the things that go in the church. If the devil can send a preacher into the church and commit harlotry. If he can send a preacher into the church that'll play around with some man's wife. If he can send a preacher along to wreck a church. That's just as good as he wants. If he can get that into the holiness church. He doesn't want to put it over yonder somewhere. He wants it in the holiness church. He said, after that I have done all these things for you, I poured out upon you of my spirit. Then he said, you assemble yourselves by truth into the harlot's house because you won't bear the reproach of my name. I can look back yonder and I can see that at the day of Pentecost, when God began to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, began to feed them to the full, began to bless them with his spirit and show them the faith that was right. Then I can see back there, according to the scriptures, how that just about the time they got the church set up, then the world moved in around it, and they began to admire it with the miracles and signs and wonders began to be performed as God worked with them. Then the world began to see it as a beautiful thing. They began to gather in around it, and they began to say, we want to get a hold of it. Did you know that it was back in the Old Testament back there when Ahab tried to get a hold of the little vineyard that they lifted the man up and owned it? They said, let's set Naboth on high. Let's raise him up on high, Ahab said. And Jezebel informed him, if you want the vineyard of Naboth, he said the thing to do is to elevate him. Raise him up in the sight of the people. As long as he's down there, abased in the eyes of the people as far as being anything, you'll never be able to accuse him. But raise up the holiness church, the devil says. Put it on television. Put it on radio. Get into the rich man's house. Let him know about holiness. Raise it up into politics. Then when you get it set up on high, then accuse it of blasphemy. That's when the harlot's coming in. That's when Jezebel is coming in. She said, Ahab, if you'll do that, then after you get it up there, said, then I'll take over. Ahab said, Jezebel, I own everything. I've got control of everything. But this one little vineyard, this one little garden, he said it's an inheritance from his fathers, and he won't let me have it. She said, if you'll do this one thing that I told you to do, say, if you'll just lift him up on high, then after that, say, you'll just leave it to me. No, no, just exactly what to do. I want you to know that the little holiness church is being lifted up. Holiness is being placed all through the world. They're elevating that they bring into that high place. But Jezebel is lurking in the shadows like a serpent. She's waiting. She's maneuvering this thing. She's behind this thing. And she's waiting. That mother of harlot is setting ready. Just as quick as it gets into the place, after where it begins to interfere with politics, then she's going to take.
take over with church over state, and she's going to accuse you and I of blasphemy. She's going to charge us with transgression of the governmental policies. And then the world's going to turn on us. She's trying to make us an open show, trying to bring us out. It was when Jesus went before Pilate that the trouble really started. As long as he wasn't messing with politics, then everything was all right. But they forced him into politics. They forced him to testify against the leaders of the nation. They forced him into the hall of Pilate, and there was nothing else he could do. And they're going to force you and I to transgress the government order. They're going to force us to do it by bringing in the policy of church over state and making religion a thing of the world, a kingdom that you and I will have to transgress or either go against the ordinance of Almighty God. They done it in Daniel's day. Daniel didn't bother the government. Daniel didn't bother the laws of the land. But it came to pass that they forced Daniel to do it. Same way with the Hebrew children. The Hebrew children wasn't bothering anybody, but they passed a decree, and they got Daniel and got the Hebrew children in a flashlight, and they forced them to do that thing.
Amen.
They even went before the king, and they said, you write up a new decree, and you place that decree up there, and you tell all the world that they've got to worship you, and that they can't pray. And Daniel hadn't bothered anybody. He hadn't changed his manner of life. He was just carrying the gospel. He was just testifying of the love of God. He was just going about his daily work and his daily order of prayer. But they forced him into a transgression, and friend, they're going to do it today. Jezebel said, you said, how you said they have, I said, Naboth of Bonhans, and I'll show you how to get that vineyard. Or it may be an inheritance. It may belong to his fathers, and he may not want to get rid of it. But there's one thing about it. If we can get rid of Naboth, then you'll have control of the whole thing. I'll tell you, the Holiness Church really looks beautiful. This is the Pentecostal age. This is the time when holiness is on television.
Amen.
It's on the radio. It's in the newspaper.
Amen.
It's the song of every heart throughout the country. While I was out in Los Angeles, I was privileged to be there as the children sang for the full gospel. Businessman's program had the privilege of leading prayer, shaking hands with you, carrying the millionaire there. And I saw those businessmen. I saw those wealthy people. And they testified to holiness. And they spoke in tongues. And they done those things that pertained unto holiness. But I want you to know, just because you speak in tongues, just because you do those things, brother, that doesn't mean you've got God. That doesn't mean you're holy.
Yeah.
What are they doing? Jezebel said, let's lift this thing up on high. The Roman Catholic Church today, the great harlot, the mother, the whore, she says, let's lift it up. If you want to get rid of it, then let's put it up into a place to where it can transgress the governmental policies, to where all the world is looking at it, and where transgression comes up, we can magnify it in the eyes of the people and then show the clothes in on it. Back there at Pentecost, the precious seed of God was dropped in the ground. Started to bring forth the harvest. The miracles was wrought. The signs and the wonders and everything looked wonderful. And there as it did, the Bible said the world began to close it around it. It wasn't long before that same religion, according to Bible history, spread out through all the kingdom. And that same religion was the one religion that was known in the kingdom. It took control of all the earth. It came in under great priestly leaders. It was taken up by the government. It was practiced according to Bible history and kept that way right on through the dark age. As soon as it got up with the wealthy people, when we began to get a place of prestige, then the Christ that was born in a manger, the Christ that always comes and sins at the men of low state, that Christ was pushed out, and they began to bring in the worldly order. They began to do the things that pleased them, and Christ had no more voice in it. The word of God wasn't effective anymore. They had their doctrines, they had their ideas, they had their disciplines, their bylaws, and the word of God, God himself was driven out. He was rejected of his own people. I've made the statement a number of times in preaching that though the Lord himself gave Moses the law in the day that when he came and made himself flesh and dwelt among the people, they had changed the ordinances and they had changed the laws and they made insertions and they took away so much that when the word itself came, they didn't even recognize it. And it's the same way today. They've made so many alterations with the Bible saying, he'll not alter the thing that's gone out of his mouth. But they've made so many alterations that when a real minister of God comes along, when somebody starts preaching the word, they don't even recognize the word anymore. They don't even know the ordinance ordinances of God anymore. But you can come along with some of the wine of the fornication of the great whore. You can begin to pour out a glass of that, and you can pass that around, and everybody will drink it down. Everybody will get drunk off of it. Why? Because he said, after that they had been filled to the full, he said, after I've given you the desires of your heart, and I filled you to the full, he said, then you assemble yourselves by troops into the house of the harvest. And so it is today. The multitudes are going that way. And here at Pentecost, as that church blossom out, and then the Catholic people, not being Catholic, them just Roman people, just like we American people, but they began to gather in around it, and they began to kill out the apostles, and everybody that opposed their creeds, their dogmas and doctrines and ideas begin to get into it, like they did way back there in the Old Testament when they worshiped Baal. How many of you know what the word Baal means? Baal means God of the flesh. God of the flesh, that's what we got today. We got a God of knowledge. We got a God of the flesh. We got a God that you can divide in two pieces or three pieces, any way that you want to, as long as it fits the ideas and theology of mankind. They worshiped Baal when Elijah stood back there and made the great declaration. And he said, help the Lord be God. He said, let's worship God. He said, but help Baal be God, then let's forget about the Lord. Stands the same way today. Amen. Catholic Church got control of it. Yes, she got control of it. My, what began to happen? That little seed that God had planted into the ground, up the ground, that began to come up. But as it came up, it fell into the hands of that great whore back there. It fell into the hands of the harlot. And down through the dark ages, right on down through Martin Luther's time. Oh, if we just had the time tonight to break those types and shatter down one at a time to show what happened, it would be so beautiful tonight. But as it came on down through the dark age, on through Martin Luther's time, right on down through Abraham's time, right on up to the present day administration of Johnson's time, in the day in which we live, all these great things that took place back there was the mother harlot trying to smother out the life, trying to kill out the Christ child. As the seed sprang forth, it came up just like a stalk of corn, and it was green and full of life. That church, I want you to know, had the Spirit of God in it when it first took over. Just like a stalk of corn has life in it, just like it's green with life, that church had life in it back then. But there came a day when God began to move on, and the life began to leave the stalk. For as the grain passes through, as the seed passes through, as it comes down through the ages, it saps every bit of the life out. As it passes from the stalk, I guarantee you they'll have a revival. If you put the church of Christ out, if you put the church, if you put the body of Christ in a denomination, they'll have a revival. Just as quick as that seed passes on through that denomination, then it takes every bit of the life out of it, and it begins to drive just like a stalk of corn. As it moved on down, coming on down through a restless time and Calvin's time, Luther's time, right on down through the stalk and the blade, right on down to the foliar, then the husk set in, and the ear began to form in the husk, and the husk was green. It was green and full of life, like the churches of the day of the last sifting. God sifted the Catholics, then he sifted the Methodists, and he sifted the Baptists. And the hard thing for the world to see today is that he's gone to sift Pentecost says, I believe he sifted the Catholic. I believe he sifted the Baptist. But they don't believe that God's going to sift them. I want you to know, when God's through sifting, he'll come out with the elect of God. He'll come out with the sons and daughters of God. And so it is that the husk began to form. Then the people that thought that was really it, that really resembled it, that looked like it, it was full of life like the stone. And they began to fill their belly with the husk as the prodigal went away. And the Bible says, he foamed and filled his belly with the husk, but he remembered the Father's house. The world is filled up on the husk today, and they haven't seen the first coming forth of beautiful grain. That seed is going to be reproduced. And Paul said, before a seed can reproduce, it must fall into the ground and die. If it doesn't die, then it abides alone. At Pentecost, it had to die. It had to go through the dark age. It had to go through the martyr age, that it might die, that it might come forth in the latter times and bring forth a great harvest, that the world might see the glory of the attributes of Almighty God, as God himself is manifested through the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it is, the world fills up their belly with the husk, just like we see this Amalekite world around us. We see factories, we see houses, we see cars, all types and shatters, all are minor types. Every bit of this is the husk in which the ear grows. For there is a spiritual world somewhere, and this world is a type and a shadow. And out of this type and shadow, within this veil, there is a spiritual world. And this antitype world is waiting for an Antichrist to take over and rule it. But there is a world that's not an anti-world. There is a world that's true, a world that's original. There is a Christ that's going to take over that spiritual world one of these days, and we're going to be citizens of the heavenly kingdom. But if you notice that the prodigal today is doing the same thing, the people are doing the same thing today. They're filling their bellies with the husk. They want houses. They want cars. They want land. They want the riches and the fame and the prestige and position. They want bank accounts. They want things in this world. They're filling their bellies with the husk, and they're failing to see that somewhere there's a real city, that somewhere there's a real life, that somewhere there's a city that's got streets of gold and gates of pearls, a fountain that flows that's full of life. Somewhere, friend, there's a city, but the world's filling their belly with the husk. Why? Because they are the beast. They are the beast. Have you ever noticed when you go to plow a field, you go out and you break up the fallow ground and you plow the field, and the way you plow that field is by hooking up the beast. You put the harness on the beast and you use the beast to plow that field. God is using the beast. He's using those people that are root beasts to plow that field with, and they're working that ground, and the reward they get is the husk. As they eat the husk, they eat the husk as it comes up, and that husk that they do not eat after the life's been snapped out of it, after it's been blistered by the heat of the day, the husk that they throw eat, then it's gathered together and it's burned, friend. And so is the beast. That's their reward of labor. They are rewarded with the things of this world, for they're filling their belly with the husk. Oh, I thank God that just beyond these types and shadows, that's just beyond this world, and there is a real, genuine world of happiness and peace, of eternal life, eternal joy, where we're going to be one day. He said, after that I have fed you to the full, then you assemble yourselves by troops into the harlot's house. And so it is, they're doing that all over the world today. But here we see, as that husk is formed, that ear is coming forth, that grain is reproducing, that grain is coming out of there. And friend, when it's reproduced, it'll come forth out of there. Let's see if we can get a picture tonight how that Christ came back there on the cross. Christ, the Bible said, he made in himself twain. As he hung on the cross there, the Bible said that the temple was ripped in twain. And the people, being natural minded, they looked around them and they saw the natural building that was rent in twain. But Jesus said, destroy this temple, I raised it up in 3 days. And the Bible said they understood not that he spake of his body, as the true temple hung upon the cross, and it was rent in twain, or that is, it was rent in two, as the spirit was taken out of the body, and the body was laid down in the clay, and the spirit was raptured away as the type of the heavenly bride that's caught away at the crucifixion. Remember when Jesus went before Pilate? It was there when he got into politics that they took him to the cross. And friends, it's when you and I get into politics that they're going to take us to the cross. And the Bible said that he was placed there. That temple was rent in twain. And remember this, that spirit went into the heart of the earth, and that spirit was raptured up as the type of the heavenly Jew, as the type of the heavenly bride. It was taken away, the separation of the Jew and the separation of the Gentile bride, being separated as the body of the Jew was cast into the outer darkness of the grave to lay there, being dead to God as far as God was concerned, to go through those dark days of tribulation. There, as the Jew and the bride was separated, can you see the picture tonight? That spirit went down into the heart of the earth. It went down into the heart of the earth, down into the heart of the earth, and where those souls was in prison, where those souls was bound up there and tormented by the powers of the devil, the Spirit of God went down in the heart of the earth, rapturing that soul, loosing those souls in prison, showing the rapture of the church as it went down the heart of the earth to place within you and I the kingdom of God, putting that spirit within the heart of the earth, and yet working itself from the heart of the earth to catch it up into the heavenly presence of Almighty God. Why? Because God is looking down. God is looking down tonight like he was then. And there, as we see the hush and the ear ready to come forth, we get the picture of it there at the cross as he took away the hush, as he took that ear out, so to speak, and took away the hush. But how close is it before these things are joined back together according to the heavenly pattern? Remember, everything's in perversion, and the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And God must make a complete switch or a complete change. And how long is it before these things knit themselves back together? How close is the resurrection tonight? I've thought a lot of times about one of these little telescopes you look through. You know, you slide one section out of it and you slide another section out of it. And I remember how that God spoke to me about the body, the soul, and the spirit. And he typed it out with the Jew and with the Catholic and with the Protestant. He said, son, remember how that the Jew slipped out back in when God took the Jews out of the great multitude of people that he created. And then how the Catholic Church slipped out of the Jew. And then remember how the Protestant slipped out of the Catholic. And then the Pentecostal slipped out of the Protestant, and then the elect slipped out of the Pentecost. And he said every time that the seed came out, said the other part would die, for it would take that part of life with it, for there's no life in anything but the seed, and wherever the seed is, there's life. And as it passed through those great powers and movements, ecclesiastical bodies, it came forth, bringing the life with it, not losing a bit of life. Jesus said, Father, I've not lost a one of them. Everyone that you've given me, I'll raise him up in the last day, and drawing the life right on with it for him. It brings us right on up to the end time. And Pentecost has begun to die since the elect has come out of it. Since the seed has come out of it, then Pentecost is beginning to die. It's not blossoming anymore. It's not covering the world anymore. It's beginning to die. Why? The seed has come forth. What's going to happen here? How close are we to the change? How close are we to the resurrection? Remember when the body was separated from the spirit, showing us that those that lie in the grave out there, the Bible said the body without the spirit is dead. The body laid there and the spirit came forth out of it and left the body dead there in the grave. The body of Christ Jesus, just as when you die and your spirit goes back to God who gave it, your body lays out there dead. The spirit goes back to God, and just like you and I, as the body of Christ, as the temple was rent in twain, showing that you and I had been rent in twain as far as our body, being separated from our spirit, that our body is reckoned to be dead with Christ Jesus. Now spirit's translated into the kingdom of God, for the body without the spirit is dead, and we're dead with Christ in our body, and there's no sin in the body anymore. As I talked here one Sunday morning, and the spirit's been raptured up to God. Now we're getting close. As the Protestant came forth out of the Catholic Church died. For it was the spirit, it was the life of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church had power, and the great horde dominated all the land. She controlled all the land. But when the spirit came forth out of her, that when that spirit separated, when the Protestant came forth out of the Catholic Church, she died. But I want you to know that one of these days, that spirit's going to enter back into that great whore. That power, that Protestant church, is going back into the Catholic Church, and that great monster's coming forth again to dominate the world. What will it mean to you and I? It will mean there is time for the resurrection. For when she goes back into that whore's church, then it will mean that the spirit is going to return back into the body of Archanda. It will mean that the spirit of us, which is hid with God, will be once again active in these bodies. But these bodies will have been cleansed. They'll have been sanctified. They'll have been made pure and ready to come forth. That the spirit that is withdrawn and been inactive and haven't had any part in the things of the world as concerning the body, it will go back into that body again. Then we can be active in a heavenly life. Paul said, I keep under this body, and I bring it into subjection. Thus haply after I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. God said, Moses said, while the death angel's moving around, said, you get back in your house. While the angel's moving around, you get back in your house. Just put the blood on the doorpost, and you get back in your house. And he went on to tell him, he said, I'll save you and your house. That's what he told him. If thou shalt believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then I shall save thee and thy house. He said, you get back within your little tabernacle. You don't be active in the things of the world. You let this body lay dead until the midnight hour is over, until the death angels pass. He said, then you can come forth from your house. I'm looking for a new earth. I'm looking for the time when this old earth is going to pass away. That's going to be a change. When the fire of God shall burn the chaff. It's burning it out now. The fire of God is burning out the chaff, and we're going to enter back into this body, but it's going to be a new earth. It's going to be a heavenly earth. There is coming a time. You know, as they moved along, they're coming out of Egypt. Every time the great tabernacle, which was the body of Christ, began to move, the little tents just moved along too. Wherever the pillar of fire went, they'd go by day. The pillar of cloud would lead them by day, and they'd follow it by day, just walking along. Wherever it went, right on through the wilderness, they'd follow it by day. But every time the cloud stopped, which was a symbol of the Holy Ghost, then they themselves would stop. The little tabernacles would stop, and they'd pitch right close to the Word of God, so to speak. They'd stay right close to the body of Christ, or they'd pitch right in there around that heavenly body. And then at night, when the darkness began to come in, when they really began to have problems and troubles, then the great fire of God would come forth. Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad that in this hour, when the darkness is gathered around us, that God has sent the great pillar of fire. For the fire is what burns out the chaff. The fire gives light by night, and we can walk in it. And I hear in this dark hour, when the great horror is spreading the darkness all around, then the great pillar of fire has returned today in the church and is in the midst of us, and it's leading us by night. Right on through the darkness we're moving, and the little tents is moving right along. Now, a lot of people don't like to be controlled by that pillar of fire. A lot of them don't like to be controlled by the cloud. And if the Word of God, the Spirit of God says anything to them, a lot of them will just wander on off out yonder. But I want you to know that they that belong to God will stop. When the Spirit says stop, they'll stop. When the Spirit says go, they'll go. I'll tell you, we're at the end of the way. We're getting close to the end of the way, friend. The end of time is right upon us. Let me say this. Just kind of give an illustration here, and I'm going to try to close in just a little bit. Looking back here again at Naboth, back then the days of Ahab, I want you to get a picture of it. Here is the great prophet Elijah being in that day. Here God said to Elijah, go off somewhere to the cave, Elijah. I want to talk with you. And remember how he went out there and he stood in the cave. And there in the cave, the God of heaven began to speak to him. With a small, still voice, he began to commune with him. And God said, Elijah, he said, your time on earth is about over. He said, it's time for you to be called away. He said, but I want you to go back. And I want you to anoint a man by the name of Elisha. I want the anointing of God to come down upon him. And then you can be called away. I want you to anoint Jehu king over the land because I'm going to do a work. I want you to get a picture of it tonight. Elijah went back and he found this Elisha out in the field. Remember Jesus said the field is the word when he spoke of the parable. He found him out in the field and he was plowing there with 12 yoke of oxen. And remember the ox is always a type of Israel, which is the sacrifice. And there he found Elisha, which was a type of the Jewish church. There were the 12 tribes, so to speak, the prophet of them, and he was plowed in the field. And then Elijah, who was a type of the Gentile bride that was on the verge of being raptured, stood there and he talked with Elisha. And Elisha began to follow him, began to sacrifice everything he had and began to follow him. And then the time came and nigh for Elijah to be called away, and Elisha stayed back with him. Remember this? The Bible said Elisha had a double portion of God's Spirit. Isn't that right? Elijah done so many miracles, but Elisha done just twice as many as Elijah. And remember that Elisha was a type of the Jew, while Elijah was a type of the Gentile church that was raptured away or caught away in the fire. And remember, as Elisha stood there, then the mantle was thrown back from Elijah down to Elisha. Now, why did he do twice as many miracles? Because the Jew has always had a portion of God. They've always had a portion of God. The inward man and the outward man, Paul spoke of. In their outward man, they had a portion of God because they kept the law. They lived by the Old Testament and they kept that portion of it. And when the Bible was thrown back, which was a type of the Holy Ghost coming back from the Gentile bride, when that Holy Ghost came back, it gave them the potion within their spirit. And instead of having a potion, just a spiritual potion as the Gentile bride had, they'll have a double potion. Their body and their spirit will be sealed. And they'll do twice as many miracles as they go through that dark age over there for God. We have a potion, and we're doing great things for God, friends. But we only have a spiritual potion. And when we get our double potion, which is the change of the body, we'll go out of the world. But the Jews will stay here with their double potion. They will be changed. Now get a picture of it. Here, God said, anoint Jehu king. And the Bible said that the king rode in with his chariot, went into the city, and he looked and there stood Jezebel. As he went in, she had painted herself up and she looked real good. There she stood trying to deceive. And when Jehu rode in, he said, who is it that's with me? And you know who it was? It was the eunuchs that cried out. The Jew again. A Jew again, another type of a Jew. And the eunuchs cried out and said, we have something against him. We have no desire for her. The desire of women was gone from them. Why? Because the Catholic Church double crosses the Jew. You know how the prophecy of Daniel goes, and they'll have something against her. And so it was Jesus said, if you're on my side, should cast Jezebel down. And in that age, they cast her down. And what was the prophecy of the great bride? What was the prophecy of Elijah? He said, and the dog shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and she shall be as dung upon the face of the earth. Let's see if we can see here, just for a few minutes, what he was talking about. And the Gentiles, Jesus said, you can't give the children's bread to the dogs. And the Gentiles just finally consumed the Catholic Church in their anger. And Paul spoke of all his knowledge. He spoke of it as dung, and I did not know that in spiritual revelation it actually comes out as dung. That those are dogs, and with all this intellectual knowledge, they're getting, they're feeding on the dung. That's what they're doing. They're feeding on the dung. And said that they would feed off of the potion of Jezebel, and she'd be as dung across the face of the earth or the field. And so it is, friend, that we're coming to the place right now to where that Jew is fixing to get that mantle. We're getting ready to go out right now. Getting ready to go out right now. Let me say this, and I'm going to try to close. When the body was taken down from the cross, it was laid in the grave. A day is as 1,000 years with God, and 1,000 years is a day. It came forth on that third day under the Sabbath, which showed a couple of 1,000 years from the time of the cross on up until the time of the millennium, showing the coming forth of the Jew after he's been in that outer darkness ever since Pentecost, since they came from the east and the west, set down in the place of the children of the kingdom, not being able to find God for our sake, but it showed a time when the millennium would come and he would come forth out of that darkness, just as the body of Jesus came out of the grave. Then he would come forth out of that darkness into that great Sabbath of God, which is the great millennium. We're close, friend. God is fixing to turn back to the Jew. They fill their bellies with the husk, and now the seed has come forth. What is it for? Said it would be gathered into the garners that it might be meat for the master's use. But he burned the chaff with unquenchable fire. Burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. I don't know whether you know just what I'm speaking of tonight or not, but I want you to keep this thought in mind and ask God to revelate these things to you if you don't understand them. That the Bible said that when he had fed them to the full, that they assembled themselves by troops into the house of the harlot. And so it is tonight. Will you stand with me?